If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1151. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode of GTR, we have Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I think it's time for us to talk about some Halo Infinite, man.
Yes, sir.
Been a long, long time.
Yes,
long
sir.
Long time coming, man. Can't wait. Can't wait. You watch the whole stream?
Oh, yeah. I watched the whole thing. I wound up hopping on the Kind of Funny. So we live reacted to it. But yeah, saw the whole thing.
Nice. Nice. Really, really cool. All right. So, but first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Subscribe. Post your review. And if you can, also send us some voice messages, some emails for fan mail. And here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so 343 had their live stream breaking down the beta that's coming out actually tomorrow, July 29th, and the beta is going to run for this weekend. For the first time until August 1st. And then there's going to be other opportunities in the future where you can also have an opportunity to play again, maybe different modes. They're going to make some changes in the background, especially this weekend. They're going to do that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes here. But yeah, overall, Paris, I really enjoyed how open 343 were the whole time, breaking down the beta. The one that surprised me the most out of everything, how good the Xbox One version looks, man. That was really cool for them to show that first, more than anything, you know. So what are your thoughts overall of that when they show that the Xbox One version?
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing that stood out to me, was when they showed the Xbox One version. I even tweeted it. I was like, oh man, this is looking pretty. Like, if they would have said that was a Series X, I wouldn't have blinked an eye, right? So it looked really good on stream. I think overall, I love the way that they did this presentation. I did not think it was going to be live. I thought it was going to be something that was pre-taped. And the fact that they had Brian Gerard out there live, Tom French came out, you know, a couple other people from 343, and they just riffed in real time and obviously hit their key points of the things that they wanted to show. But to me, that was a great indication that they had nothing to hide. You know what I mean? Like, all right, here's the game, real time. Let's go through the menus. Yeah, some of the matches they had pre-recorded, but the fact that they were able to talk through that stuff and were able to see it in real time, like, the big takeaway that I took from everything they showed was, it's about making the Spartan that you want to make to represent you in the game. The accessibility features, being able to customize things in certain ways so that the way the UI looks on the screen, the way your Spartan looks, everything is customized towards you. So you're comfortable with the way that you're playing. That's what really stood out the most to me. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into the Academy stuff and the bots and whatever in a second. But I was impressed. I was very impressed with this. It got me excited to want to go play Halo. And I think that's the whole point. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend, being able to jump in and, you know, test some of the stuff out for myself.
Yeah. And like I said, I love that they're being super open. I know one of the things that people were asking throughout the whole stream, because I don't know if you watched the chat,
But people were like, hey, are we going to see split screen? Split screen, what's up? You know, because Halo is known for that, right? And they said, look, not for the beta,
yep,
but they are going to have a split screen for launch. So that's really cool. The assassination part of in the game is not going to be available at launch, but they're planning to add that also in the future, which is, I think, is awesome. And they, again, love that they were being open about that too. Another thing too, Paris, that, which I think this move is super important because a lot of the first-person shooters have been doing this for a very long time. Halo's been super behind about this. But now, for the first time in the series history, now in the game, you could drop your weapons for the first time. That has never happened in Halo, which is awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. The other thing that stood out to me is the way they're handling this battle pass. This should be the template moving forward for all these games on how you implement a battle pass, because you know, you buy it, you play it at your pace. The fact that you can swap out certain challenges and things, I think is pretty cool. And I know this isn't the first game to be able to do that, but to see it here, you know, is a great thing. And again, take it at your pace. You don't have to worry about limited time or rushing to try and keep up with anyone. It's about you. Play it the way that you want to play it. Get the rewards that you want when you're ready for them. I think it's great. I think all of it's really good.
Yeah, and not only that too, this is, of course, crossplay. So you could play with players that have the PC, Xbox One, and also the Xbox Series consoles. So that's going to be the first time where the game is going to have more versions out there too. So a lot more people are going to be in there. And this game, this version, the multiplayer, is also going to be free. So really, really cool. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see the changes from launch in the future, because look, like a game like Apex Legends, we've been playing that a lot now for a while, and it's also free. Respawn have been doing a great job at changing the game and adding new modes and just changing it all the time. You know, every few weeks there's something new in there, every season something new. So the game that we're going to get to see now at launch is going to be different 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you know. So that's the part that I'm super curious on, what other things that they're planning to add in the game. But yeah, I'm super excited. More than ever, I'm very hyped about Halo Infinite, man.
Yeah, agreed.
Very hyped.
Agreed. Yeah. Completely agree.
Now, Paris, I know we're old school, man. Do you remember the first time playing a game like Perfect Dark with bots? That was very challenging those days, right? But now we're going to see this in this game too. And as of right now, the difficulty is not going to be hard, because they just want, 343 want us to just try it out, test it out. Depending on how many people are playing it this weekend, they're also going to increase the difficulty. And I think you were the one that said, dude, the Halo Reach AI is ridiculous. It's super hard. So I could imagine what type of difficulty we're going to get to see when we play against the bots. It's a 4v4 mode that's also going to be available this weekend in the beta. What are your thoughts about that, man? Because I think that sounds freaking awesome and challenging to me.
Yeah, it sounds great. It was funny because I even tweeted at Brian Gerard after you're talking about this, because they were like, oh, you know, it, you know, if the community get, you know, because they're going to start off, there's basically four tiers of difficulty, right? So they're going to start off at tier two, like, oh, you know, what do you say, maybe by set Friday or Saturday or something, you know, depending on where the community's at, maybe we'll bring it up to three, and then maybe by the end of it on Sunday we'll get all the way up to four. So I just tweeted, I'm like, look, you might as well crank that thing up to four by 6 a.m. on Friday, because I guarantee you there are going to be some really good people out there that are just going to go right through the bots at tier two. But yeah, I am excited to see it at the higher tiers and to see just how challenging it's going to be, which I guess kind of leads us right into the Academy stuff that they were showing off. You know, being able to go in there as a novice player and kind of learn the weapons. There'll be different tiers of bots in there to kind of, so you can kind of get a feel for the weapons, being able to shoot. The fact that the hit points on the Spartan lights up, so you kind of see where you're hitting, like, oh, you want to, obviously your headshots is what you want to get. So you can kind of practice on those. And as you get to the higher tier of the bots in that, you know, they won't shoot back at you, but they're moving, they're flanking, getting into cover, things like that. So it helps you, again, at your pace, be able to get comfortable with the game instead of jumping right into multiplayer, which, look, let's keep it real, can be very intimidating for some people. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna roll in there, I'm gonna get destroyed. I already know it because I'm going to be rusty as hell. But at least I could probably go into the academy and kind of, all right, let me get a feel for the BR. Let me get a feel for a couple of these other new weapons, see how they feel before I jump into real head-to-head competition, you know, and get my butt kicked. So I think them doing this, like putting in this academy, again, it's another great quality of life feature to get more people to want to engage with the multiplayer and at least try it out. And then obviously we know it being free to play is a huge part of that as well.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a lot of new people that are going to play Halo for the first time. Of course, because it's going to be free. So people are going to be curious about the game. Like, oh, let me try it out. And there's also people, Paris, that don't have a Series X or S, don't have a PC. They still have the base Xbox One, you know, and they're also going to try that out through that console too. So I'm glad that 343 added that, especially for the new crowd that have never play Halo. But I think based on them practicing through the academy, look, I could see them becoming pros, you know, so I could definitely see that. Yeah, and also when you practice, it gives you also points. So depending where you hit, it will increase the points. So people are going to start doing that more just to practice, you know, so they're going to get better and better with it, man. So really, really cool to see, man, about that, man. So yeah, like what are your thoughts about just the bots in general? I mean, I'm very excited about that because I just love co-op, the co-op experience on any game. So I'm going to try that out. I know over the weekend they're probably going to add some other stuff besides the bots, but looking at the schedule, I think the only day that they're going to have more hours for you to try out is the first day, actually July 29th. Every other day, it looks like it's just going to be a couple hours here and there. I know, like, for example, July 30th, it starts 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific, and that's it. That's for the 30th, right? But then, again, later on that day, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. So time is going to be very short. You're going to have a limited time to play this, to try it out, man. So every time you go back, they're probably going to make those changes, like you said, Paris, especially those bots. They're probably definitely going to change the difficulty during that time, man. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, this is fun. It's going to be fun. I'm very excited for this weekend to be able to just try it out. You know what I mean? They've been very transparent and upfront. This is truly a technical test. Like, they even explain the reason they're kicking us off with bots is because that actually puts more stress on the servers, because they have to literally host everything on the servers when it's the bots, obviously the AI. So they're trying to stress test the servers right now to see if they can hold up before they start letting more people in, obviously expand to different modes. Because obviously by the time we get to the end of the testing, we're going to get to full on big team battle, being, you know, in these flights or betas or whatever you want to call them. So this is just the first part. And they even talked about, you know, it's going to be a limited amount of people this weekend. So not everyone's going to get in this time, but they're looking to expand it greatly, you know, as this is moving forward. And again, I guess full disclosure for everyone listening to this, Xbox did reach out to us and basically confirmed that, you know, we'd be able to get in the beta or the flight, excuse me, this weekend so that we can be able to test it out and obviously talk about it. So everyone, you know, can kind of get an idea. Plus, we can stream it if we want, all that type of stuff. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It's the first taste. Like, I don't know about you, but for me, I felt like, okay, now we're getting to the next gen. Even though I know this isn't a true, quote unquote, next gen game, it's on Xbox One and all that. But it's like, oh my God, we really are about to get a new Halo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, now we actually get to play a new Halo. It's been 6 years and we're finally going to get to play a new Halo. And I am genuinely excited about this. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
And you know what's the most important thing too, Paris? I'm glad that 343 didn't release the game last year and just they took their time to make the changes, you know, all these months, especially during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the developers been working from home. And now seeing videos and also the blog posts from 343, I'm super excited, way more than last year actually, because now I see that they're very transparent, they're very open about everything, and I'm just excited, very, very excited. And I just love the changes that they've been making, man. And you know, hopefully we'll get to see more about the single player campaign in the future. But, you know, me especially, like every time I play, I always play the difficulty a little bit harder, sometimes even all the way up in the campaign. So based on what we're going to see in the multiplayer, hopefully that is going to give us like a sneak peek of what we're going to see in the campaign, you know, later this year. So very excited about that part too, man.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like you bring up the campaign. I don't know about you, but
yeah,
I'm good. I don't need to know anything. Don't show me nothing else. Just let me go play it. And I understand after Craig and all that, people are wanting to see a little more, and I'm sure they will. But I don't need to be convinced of anything. I'm going to play the campaign day one. I don't want to know anything about, like, I hope if they do show some stuff, it's nothing with the story. I don't want to know what the story is. Nothing. I want to go in there 100% blind. I just want to pick up the controller for the first time and just go in and immerse myself into the story for whatever it's going to be. But yeah, it's exciting. Like, it's funny. I was even thinking about this towards the end of the stream. Imagine, like, again, they've had an entire year to continue to polish and do everything. But imagine if they would have forced this and it came out last year.
That would have been rough.
Yeah, it would have been horrible. It would have been. So this is a classic example of take your time. It's pretty clear the extra year has allowed them to really refine what they're doing and really get it polished to, and have, again, these quality of life features in there so that everybody can pick up the sticks and go play it. And the fact that they were able to show this game across Xbox One, Series X, and PC today, that's fantastic. And look, and it's going to be on cloud too, so you can be able to play it on mobile devices, stuff like that as well. I mean, I'm excited. I'm definitely excited because I feel like this is the first multiplayer game that I'm excited to jump into and play, honestly, probably since Destiny, for me, anyways.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm 100% with you. And the reason why I mentioned about the campaign, Paris, I think they need to show something. You know, like, hey, look at these changes. Because right now we only seen screenshots, you know, and yes, we're going to get to play the multiplayer. I get it. But just to show the confidence, like, hey, look, this was the changes we made. They need to show that at least. I don't care about the story. I want to find out about the story myself when I play it. But you know what? Show us the same thing that they showed last year and show us the difference. Like, okay, look at the changes we made. Look how good it is, like the graphics and everything. You know, so that's the part that I'm saying. So I don't want to see no new enemies, none of that stuff. I want to be super surprised. Because you remember Paris playing the first Halo and finding out about the flood. Oh my god, that was iconic. That was one of the most iconic moments. Like, that's the thing that I want to experience when I play Halo, like not knowing anything about the story, maybe basics, you know, but that's it, you know. So yeah, very excited about that. Super excited. Anything else about the beta, Paris?
I mean, not specifically the beta. I think we covered the ground. When I highly suggest anyone listen to this, definitely go back and watch it. Look at some of the gameplay stuff, because like they ended it with like a full gameplay match on the Series X, and that looked like a lot of fun too. And these even the bigger maps where we're getting vehicles and all. I can't wait. I can't wait for all that stuff. I'm gonna be driving the Warthog, capture the flag. I'm gonna be the getaway car, man. I'll be like, come on, get in, let's go. You know, I can't wait.
Yeah,
this is gonna be so good. I don't know, man. It's just in general, I feel like, you know, pandemic aside, and obviously things that get delayed, like Kena got delayed only to September, so not too long of a delay. But, you know, we've seen things get delayed and all that. But I kind of look at where gaming is right now. Like, I feel like there's stuff that we can't talk about yet. But I for the first time in probably the last couple of years, feel like I got too many things to play all at once. I'm trying to play too many things all at once. And not old stuff, like new games. I'm trying to all play at one time right now, and I have enough freaking time. And that's a great freaking feeling to have, because that's just letting you know that some quality stuff is on the way. And, you know, I feel like by the time we get to Halo, which, knock on wood, will be at the 20-year anniversary in November, that's just going to kind of just be the final nail in the coffin for this year. Like I said, even though things have gotten delayed out, I still feel like we're getting a nice, robust lineup of games here on the back half of the year. And I just think overall I'm excited for it. Like, cause did you get to see what Playground Games showed on the stream the other day with all the biomes for Forza Horizon 5.
Oh, my.
My God. My God.
Yeah, it looks sick.
Yeah,
sick.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous where gaming is going. Like, the look. And look, again, this is another cross-gen game. So imagine, yo, Danny, imagine when they show Forza Motorsport, which is all next-gen.
And that's sometime, hopefully next year.
Or maybe the year after we'll probably at least see it. We'll at least see it next year. I wouldn't hold my breath that it comes out next year, because I think everything with COVID, there's no rules. It'll probably get delayed. But
dude,
my God.
Not only that, Paris, the Unreal Engine that they showed, the Coalition.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah, ridiculous. Ooh. It's ridiculous. And you know, look, Flight Sim, you know, you've been playing Flight Sim on the Series X. Danny, I said it at the showcase, and I'm still saying it. How the hell did they do this? I'm playing it on a 3090 on the PC, and it's struggle bus. It's been smooth as butter on the Series X. How are they doing this? I know they reworked some stuff on the engine, and upfront, I need to reinstall it on the PC because I've uninstalled it. But I do want to play it again on the PC because I know the engine changes they made to get it to run on console, they've also done for PC as well. So I'm curious the frame rate improvements and things I'll see on PC as well. But look how good it looks on the Series S. Flight Simulator.
S, yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
You know what? I want to try that out because we have a Series S here. I just need to figure out space. But I seen videos of it. I'm like, how in the world they put it off with this S? I can understand the X, you know.
Yeah.
But the S? Oof. How? That's insane. But, you know, Paris, I definitely want to mention that very quick because I've been having a great time with that game. Like, yes, it's not a shooter. It's not an adventure game. But sometimes I just want to lay back and just chill and just fly. Like, what I've been doing is, like, the other day, you know, I miss my grandparents, you know. They passed away a couple years ago. And with FlySim, I went to their house in Dominican Republic. It took me a while, but I found it. I even found the cemetery where they're buried, you know. And I showed that to Rihanna. The other day, we were also on the phone talking to her mom, and she was like, yeah, because she knows people that like to play the Flight Simulator, the old one. So I told her, hey, I have the new one, you want me to show you? She go, yeah. So we started showing it, and I was flying the location where she was at. She's like, oh my God. And she was telling us, okay, turn here, okay, right here, okay, we're next to this building. Yo, dude, it was insane. I was like, oh my God, it was actually fun, you know. We were doing that for like 45 minutes, Paris, on the phone. Like, we did like a video chat, FaceTime, just trying to figure out where they live, and we found their house. So that it's a cool experience. Even the other day too, I was streaming for over 7 hours. I was just flying from Los Angeles to the Dominican Republic, and I had the viewers just telling me, okay, Danny, you're in this state. They would look up all the locations that will pop up on the screen, and they'd tell me, Danny, this is a storm straight ahead. Be careful. It's going to be crazy, you know. That type of thing. But it was an amazing experience, even though I landed pretty ridiculous when I got to the Dominican Republic. I was like upside down
when I got there. I saw a picture.
Yeah. But overall it was fun. And I have to give give props to Xbox, because now I've been seeing so much content, like games coming up, not only for Game Pass, old and new, but even the new ones, Paris, now, like starting with Fly Sim, Psychonauts, The Ascent. What else is coming? Like, it's so many games that's coming out in the summer. Later, Halo Infinite. Dude, it's a lot of games, man. And as a fan of Xbox and a person to have the console, I'm very surprised, very excited for the future, because this is just the beginning. Imagine when all those studios already have like all their games ready, and they're launching it sometime next year or in the future. You know, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be really, really good, man.
Yeah, I agree. Completely agree, man. I mean, it's like I literally just pulled the Xbox app up right now, and I'm just looking at coming soon. Yes, yeah. The Ascent, probably by the time people are listening to this, The Ascent is gonna be out. And wait, when is this coming out?
Tomorrow, actually Thursday. So isn't the Ascent this week? I think it's the...
I don't want to break embargo, but I kind of sort of will right now to say that I am playing the Ascent. It's freaking dope. We'll talk about it on the Sunday show. But I think I'll be okay. But the Ascent, again, you'll see. We'll talk about it soon. They're going to have Hades is about to come out, which I've personally never played. So it was like a new game to me. I've not played it. That's coming out in a couple of weeks. Psychonauts 2. You know, I did the preview for that. Got to talk to Tim Schafer, the whole thing. I mean, dude, Danny, oh, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. I cannot freaking wait. Then Age of Empires 4 is going to come out in October. Forza Horizon 5 in November. And then Halo. That's just basically, Back 4 Blood is going to be on Game Pass. As in, you know, it's like, yo, stuff's about to drop, man. We're definitely about to get, you know, a bunch of games. And that's just Xbox and Game Pass stuff. There's obviously PlayStation, knock on wood, we'll still get Horizon Forbidden West. We know Nintendo is going to have Metroid that's coming out. Dude, it's going to be some good games coming.
I pre-ordered the OLED. You getting the OLED?
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah. I'm getting OLED. Yeah, I'm excited for that. Because I haven't been on the show. I haven't talked about Death's Door on here.
Oh, yes. You've been posting that a lot.
Hey.
A lot on Twitter.
I'm going to say this right now. Yeah. And go ahead and send your hate mail in if you don't want to believe me.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley going to be talking about that game at the end of the year.
Oh, man.
I'm going to tell you right now.
The game is good. Game is really good.
Right now, today, as we're recording this, if you said, what's your game of the year? It's Death's Door.
Okay. All right. A quick question.
Yes.
You said that also about Ratchet Clank.
I know. It's better.
It's better than Ratchet Clank?
Better. It's better.
Wow, Parrish.
Okay. Because again, you got to think this to me embraces that 2D top down Link to the Past. What's the other Zelda one? Not Link's Awakening. The other one. Was it Lost World? I'm screwing it up. But it's that vibe of Zelda. That's what this is, dude. I'm telling you, that soundtrack is just so damn good. My God.
It is. It is good.
The boss battles, the mini boss battles, you know, the exploration that you get to do. I just freaking love it. I just freaking love it. That's just the best way I can explain. And look, I'm not saying it has to be everyone's game of the year. I guarantee you I'll probably change my mind like five more times before we get to December. But as I sit here in July 2021, this has been my favorite game to play this year. I'm not even kidding.
And it's challenging and fun.
Yes.
Love it. That's the part I love.
And that's the beauty of it. It's challenging, but it's not frustrating. I'm about to chuck my controller across the room. Challenging.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, the bosses have a pattern to them, but that's part of the fun, discovering what that pattern is, being able to do it. And like you said, I posted a few videos up of like some early bosses because I don't want to spoil too much. But dude. I freaking love it. I love it. I absolutely love that game. So, and look, like I said, I'll probably change my mind five more times, but I highly recommend if you have an Xbox, go spend the $20, get Death's Door, go get it on. It's on Steam as well. $20. You want to play it on PC. It's freaking great. It's great.
Not only that, and it's a small team that made that game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the misconception is Acid Nerve, because Acid Nerve is two people, but they did outsource some other stuff. So they're not the only two people that worked on the game. So in reality, I think it's about 9 or 10 people that worked on it, which still is ridiculous. But I mean, dude, what they were able to, Acid Nerve is able to pull off with this game is incredible, dude. And that's why I hope this game could look, the Metacritic scores are off the charts, which is great. It's got nothing but positive buzz. I really hope that Acid Nerve stays in this world and does something else in this world, because I would love to see more of Death's Door happen. Full-blown sequel, DLC, whatever. I do hope they have the financial success to say, you know what, let's continue this. Let's do more in this world. I really hope they do.
Yeah, no, definitely. And definitely check it out. I've been playing it a lot. And like you said, Paris, we have a lot of games. It's hard when there's so many games to play, man. That's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Hey.
You know?
Hey, yeah. And another thing, because again, you know my Spidey sense. My Spidey sense works both ways, the bad and the good. You know, the bad was like Anthem, Mass Effect, Andromeda, stuff like that. The good, Death's Door. Danny, I got another one. I've been saying this for a year. Weird West.
When that game comes out?
And they just did a stream today. Lucy James hosted it. I have to go watch it after this. I don't know if they put a release date on it, but it's coming soon, dude. I don't know if it's this year, early next year. I got to go see. That's my next one. That's the next one that's on the radar for me. It is former devs that made Dishonored are making this game. Yo, it's another top down, it's like an RPG shooter. Obviously, Weird West is kind of like Old West stuff. But yo, it looks so good. It looks so good, Danny. My God.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Now, I do have to say congratulations to PlayStation. I just got this press release that PlayStation 5 surpassed 10 million units sold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
And it says it's the fastest selling console in Sony's history.
Mm-hmm.
Sony Interactive Entertainment history. So that's really, really good. Now, they also mentioned the numbers of some of the titles from PlayStation Studios. This one for Spider-Man Miles Morales, as of right now, has sold more than 6.5 million copies, which is awesome because that game is fantastic. One of my favorite games. Actually, my favorite game of the year was that one. MLB The Show, Paris, this is good news. More than 2 million copies across all platforms. For a game like that, usually it was always less than that because it was only on PS5. But now that it's also on Xbox, it's really good to see that it sold a lot.
Now I'm confused on that one because I saw the 2 million. Mm-hmm. I thought the 2 million was PlayStation, but then they said there was 4 million of engagement, which AKA would mean people that got it on Game Pass.
Game Pass. Yeah, I was going to mention that. So it says here, more than 2 million copies sold across platforms. The game has reached more than 4 million players since the release on April 16, 2021. So yeah, it's a combination of Xbox Game Pass subscribers and also people that actually bought the game.
Yeah.
So Returnal, a new IP, sold more than 560,000 copies.
All right, let's pause on that one. Okay. I literally deleted a tweet today. Responding to Jeff Keighley about that because people, even if you praise the damn game, people get too sensitive about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's disappointing to me. And I don't buy the excuses of, well, scalpers got all the PlayStation 5s because that's not true. Let's even be generous. Let's say of the 10 million PlayStation 5 sold, 5 million are in people's hands and it is higher than that. It's probably 8 or 9. But yeah. let's just say pretend it's 5. Really? Only 560,000 copies sold for that game. It's disappointing to me. It is, because it's a great game. We've talked about it. I freaking love it. So it's nothing about the game. I'm disappointed that there's such a low engagement. What's the factor there? Is it because it's a roguelike $70? I don't know. But and look, Housemarque, Sony bought them, all that. They'll continue to do great stuff. I'm not concerned about that. But I really wish more people would pick that game up. I do, because that's just too low of a number for that game. And I'll stretch it even further, because I know you're going to say this too. The fact that Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart has only sold, what, 1.1 million or whatever they said? The same. That's disappointing to me too. And people getting mad, oh, 10% attack. Come on, really?
No.
To me, that game, again, let's be realistic about it. Let's say there's 8 million PlayStation 5s in people's hands around the world. Mm-hmm. You really trying to tell me Ratchet only one out of eight people bought Ratchet? Really? That surprises me. It's very surprising to me. I honestly thought it went closer to 3. I thought it'd be closer to 3 million. And then something like Returnal, I figured it'd be, 1.5, 2 million, something like that. To me, that's what I would think. But hey, I don't know. It's surprising. It's definitely surprising. Well, and clearly we see Miles Morales. We don't know what the split is between PS4 and PS5. Huge engagement on that. But then again, how many of them are the 100 plus million on PlayStation 4? So again, maybe I'm wrong expecting too much from attach rate. But I quite honestly expected there to be a higher attach rate for both of those games.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, this episode is brought to you by Rise, a science-based app that makes it easy to improve your sleep, to increase your daily energy. You already know, GTR listeners, I moved all the way from New York City to LA, and the time change was difficult for me. I was having a very difficult time sleeping over here in the West Coast. I would wake up in the middle of the night. I'm always online because of it. And then throughout the day, I'm just tired. I'm feeling always tired. But did you know that it's normal to feel groggy when you wake up and sluggish in the afternoon? However, it is not normal to feel tired throughout the day. And that's an indication that you're carrying sleep debt, limiting your natural energy peaks and making your dips less productive. You could become a morning person, and don't worry, you don't have to stop using your phone before bed. You can do it without buying a new mattress or supplements. Rise uses a scientific, fact-based approach to help you get the sleep your body needs. It's built around the two principles that sleep researchers agree most effective, how we feel and perform, and that's sleep debt and circadian rhythm. Sleep debt is the only sleep score that matters. Rise tracks much sleep you owe your body relative to your own unique sleep need and helps you pay it back. Your circadian rhythm dictates your personal energy peaks and dips throughout the day. Rise not only predicts your daily energy schedule, it helps you take control of it. Rise works by pulling historical data from your phone to tell you your sleep needs, track your sleep debt, and determine the best time for you to go to sleep. Rise can also put data from any apps and wearables you already use. GTR listeners, like I said, I always have a very difficult time to sleep. And like I said, I'm always having issues. I'm always feeling tired during the day because of it. But here's one thing that helped me, and this is also going to help you. Call to action for you, GTR listeners. Rise helps you realize your potential with real results, real productivity, real performance, and real well-being. Go to risescience.com/GTR and download the Rise app today to try out free for 7 days. Most Rise users feel benefits in just 5 days. So try it out to learn more about your sleep and energy levels, plus feel better, all for free during the trial. Whether you want to become a morning person or be less exhausted during the day or improve your productivity and daily energy, Rise is the power behind your next best day. That's risescience.com/GTR to try the Rise app free for 7 days.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Well, to defend Ratchet & Clank, the game only been out for 2 months. The games that I mentioned here has been out for, the one that's been successful, has been out like Miles Morales, November, MLB The Show since April. So on that part, we got to wait to now all the way to, you know, give it a couple months to see if it increases the number. But it is disappointing because we've been seeing so much marketing on this game, not only online, but there was also video TV ads, like on ESPN and other places, you know. So that part, I agree with you. It is disappointing. This game is so good. And this is a next-gen only game. So, strange. Now, about Returnal, honestly, Paris, the marketing this was very strange. There was no ads. There was just strictly word of mouth. And even the preview, do you remember there was no journalist? It was just posted on the PlayStation blog. Really? PlayStation blog? And not having actual journalists who have this game. So then everybody got it. And it got great reviews, right? But not everybody's going to get into these type of games, though. Like Returnal. For some, it's like too difficult. They don't like that, you know? But I feel like Sony should have marketed this even more. And they didn't, honestly, man. They didn't at all. Like, where have you seen any ads about that game? I haven't seen any ads. Everything was just word of mouth. I heard about this from you and from other journalists. That's it. Yeah. I didn't see anything about that.
And I understand that. And that's what I'm saying. I don't expect Returnal to have Ratchet type numbers as far as or Miles Morales or anything crazy like that. Because again, it is a niche genre, roguelike. The marketing was nowhere near as big as it would have been for something like Ratchet or Miles Morales. So no, I'm not thinking, yeah, it was going to, you know, do these big numbers, but dude, 500,000 just seems so low to me. You would think at least a million, at least. I don't know, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But look, people get mad all they want. This is where I do think $70 matters in this scenario too. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of money to pay for a game that isn't going to be for everyone. As much as I love it, it ain't easy and it can get very frustrating. That's a lot of money to commit to it. It is. So I get it. I do get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, man. I see a lot of PlayStation fans that are very passionate about the product and about the games. Yo, support these games. If you like these games for your, like, from your favorite platform, buy it and support it. Because look, none of these games are bad. Honestly, they're not bad at all. These are really good games, especially Ratchet and Clank. That's, to me, as of right now, my favorite game of the year. And it is disappointing to see these low numbers from them, you know. But like you said, $70, Paris. It makes a huge difference, man.
So
huge
difference. I know. I'm gonna say this.
What?
And get mad if you want. Mad if you want. At Vicious696 on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
This is why I like Game Pass. Because if I see a game like Returnal and I'm not sure about it, but it's on Game Pass, I can at least try it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Right. And maybe I try it. Maybe I love it. Maybe I try it and go, damn, glad I didn't spend $70 on that. That's why I like Game Pass. And I understand there's a section of the gaming community that is against Game Pass. Again, it's a choice. Do whatever you want. But this is a classic example of why a subscription service like that is great for us, the consumer. Forget devs and publishers, us gamers, because I can at least go try something. And maybe I get hooked on it and I freaking love it. Or maybe a great example, Hades. Mm-hmm. When I finally get to play Hades, I might play Hades and be like, that ain't for me. Well, guess what? It's on Game Pass. I ain't out of nothing. That's how I look at it. And then I can keep on moving and go play something else. But yeah, the $70 thing is just a reality of the industry, and I get it. That's a lot of damn money. That's why I even say, look, as dope as Battlefield looks to me, Battlefield 2042, like the new porta mode and all that kind of stuff, $70 is a lot of damn money to spend coming off this Battlefield 5, which wasn't that hot. Just is. It just is. That's just a reality of it. And you know, again, the hardcore Battlefield audience is going to pick it up day one no matter what. But what about the people that are on the fence? What about the people that have never played Battlefield before? Are they really going to want to run out and go spend $70? Plus, you got to buy battle passes and all that stuff too? Come on.
Not only that, Paris, but seeing Halo Infinite
free to
multiplayer
play.
For free.
Yep.
Apex for free.
Yep.
Warzone for free.
That's my point.
Fortnite for free. Why would you buy a $70 game?
Yeah,
that's the thing. The industry is changing, and I feel like this was a huge mistake from EA. At least had it on Game Pass. I think that would have been even a little bit better.
Yeah, well, than the way remember, how they have that's it now. Why, you know, Conspiracy Steve and all that, we were thinking,
yeah,
it could have been on Game Pass because it just seemed like a win-win, you know. But like as an example, like I mentioned Back for Blood a second ago, like it was funny because, you know, that pre-order trailer came out because the open beta is about to come out. And if you pre-order it, you know, you can get an open beta early. I was looking at that and go, why would I pre-order it? It's going to be on Game Pass. I go play it on Game Pass. That's why I'm playing it. I mean, look, full disclosure, we might get a code for the review. But look, I already subscribed to Game Pass. So if I don't get a review code, guess what? I'm going to just get it on Game Pass and play it there. And they are guaranteed to get me to at least try Back for Blood because it's on there. That's the point, you know? So,
yeah, you know, I'm looking at the press release here from Sony, and you know what's something that I realized, Paris? And this is the question I'm going to ask you. Do you think, I know God of War, Gran Turismo, Horizon Forbidden West, I think it's going to sell a lot because it's going to be cross-gen, right? But what about those games in the future, which we don't know which one is yet, it's going to be next-gen only for PlayStation. Do you think that's going to hurt the sales of the game not having it on PlayStation. Like, for example, Deathloop, is that next gen? That's next gen only?
Yeah, PS5. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that is going to sell a lot
or
less? Because looking at these numbers from Returnal and Ratchet and Clank, I just can't see it. I really don't see this game being up there selling a lot of copies because it's only for one platform and that's it.
Well, they just simply don't have enough PlayStation 5s. They can't make enough of them, as we see by the sales numbers. But I think a game like Deathloop, which, again, I think is going to be great. I will be there day one to play it, whether I get a review code or not. If I got to go buy it, I'll buy it because I do want to go play it. I'm genuinely interested in that game. But I think there's still a lot of people out there that still don't know what the hell Deathloop really is. And I know they've done a few preview things and all that. But I think it would, like, if I had to compare it to Ratchet, it'll sell less than Ratchet in the same amount of time, in my opinion. Not to mention, we're starting to butt up against the holiday period. You know, the Maddens, look, I know we haven't talked about the Activision stuff, but Call of Duties aside, I mean, you know, those are things that people are going to go run to go play first before they go play Deathloop. I think this is a reality. People know it's eventually going to be on Game Pass. I think being a single player game, people might wait. I do.
Yeah. You're right. Especially, but now here's the thing. If you don't have an Xbox and you only have a PlayStation, like I can see some of them that probably want to try something new. They'll buy this, you know, but now here's the question I have for you. PlayStation has been kind of quiet this summer. Very quiet. They had their state of play, but, and they showed Deathloop and all that stuff, right? Do you still think these games, especially Horizon Forbidden West, you think that game is going to come out this year? I don't know, Parrot. I have a huge question mark on that game. I just can't see it. I can't see it coming out this year. Do you think so?
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I hope it doesn't happen. Yeah, I want it to come because that's the game I want to play the most this year. But I'm starting to lean towards what you're saying. I got a feeling it's not coming.
And I think it's because of the pandemic. I don't see them like having issues or anything like that. It's just, it's hard to work on these games when you're away from your coworkers, you know, your colleagues. Like, it's hard. It's really, really hard. Not being there working on the game and you're doing everything remote, it's difficult.
Yep.
You know,
I agree. Side tangent. I talked before about Weird West. I thought they already did the live stream today. I was wrong. It's tomorrow.
By the time people listen to this.
So hopefully tomorrow on the 29th, they'll do that live stream and maybe they'll put a release date on it.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, GTR listeners, we're going to continue with the show, but first let's talk about sponsor, Oregon State University eCampus. As a Gamertag Radio listener, you know what it's like to be part of an engaging online community. And at Oregon State University eCampus, creating that type of environment for students around the world is what they do best. Join a worldwide network of students as you pursue your degree online with Oregon State, an innovative provider of distance education. With more than 80 programs to choose from, you can advance your career by earning an in-demand degree in fields like computer science, business, and digital communication arts. Just like Calais, Bickford, St. Pierre, whose environmental sciences bachelor's degree program traveled with her from Alaska to Australia, from Hawaii to Europe, and many more places in between. Now, GTR listener, this is your opportunity. Every time you ask questions about how to create podcasts, digital creation, YouTube, all that, I always tell people, look, go right now to Oregon State and choose from many as 80 programs to choose from there and check it out. Learn about the university. And I always recommend for people to check it out because, like I said, I wish I had something like this back in the days when I started. Now it's a lot easier and you could learn from the faculty here. And believe it or not, Oregon State eCampus is ranked number 4 in the nation for online education by U.S. News & World Report. And all online programs and classes are developed by the same world faculty who teach on campus at OSU. So take action, GTR. This is what you have to do. Go to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR to find the program that fits you best. Is it you want to be a YouTuber, podcaster, want to learn more about editing? This is the perfect place. Once again, go to ecampus.oregonstate.edu/GTR. We would like to thank Oregon State University eCampus for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Before we wrap it up, I know you wanted to. You said you wanted to say something very quick about Activision and Blizzard, the stuff that's going on.
I'll keep it short and sweet. I've been pretty vocal on social media about this. So obviously, along with a lot of other people, today because we're doing this on July 28th. They had to protest the walkout from Blizzard, protesting in front of the studio. I'm a curse when I say this, but this entire thing has been an absolute shit show. It's a failure on leadership from Bobby Kotick all the way down at Activision, all the way down to senior leadership at Blizzard. This is why I say all the time, you know, we need diversity in our leadership. We need people, you know, women, people of color, you know, LGBTQ, just across the board. You need to have people come from diverse backgrounds in your leadership. Because I guarantee you, if you had more diversity in your leadership, this frat boy Cosby room nonsense that we're seeing that's coming out from Blizzard never would have happened, because people would have been held accountable for their actions. But the truth of the matter is this: when everyone in leadership all looks the same and are all the same gender, this is what happens. You may not like me saying that, but it's the truth. It's the 100% the truth. So I stand in support of everyone that walked out today. I know some people over at Ubisoft also put out a letter, signed letter, you know, showing support for this as well. Obviously, there's been wide support across the industry. And I would say to the people out there that think people are, you know, overblowing this, whatever. No, they're not. If anything, people should have talked up sooner about this. It's unfortunate that this was allowed to linger as much as it did. We're seeing the evidence start to come out now, and it is a complete failure of leadership. 100% complete failure of leadership. Personally, and this is me, Danny, you do what you want. I will not review, talk any Activision game until there's real change. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. I was actually was thinking a lot about that today, you know, seeing, because I have friends that work at Activision. They, you know, the developers, especially women that I know over there. And it's stressful because they love their job. They love developing games. They love, they worked on the Call of Duty series, Zombies, all that, right? And I sent them messages, you know, showing support. And it's just sad seeing this, man. Really, really sad. And I'm still going to be supporting them for sure. And look, I don't play Blizzard games at all.
It's Call of Duty. I mean, let's keep it real. It's Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Duty. Yeah. So, yeah, it sucks. It sucks really seeing this and now seeing all the evidence coming out. I'm like, wow, dude. Like, these so-called senior leadership that are working on these companies, they're dumb, because there's evidence everywhere.
Oh, my
God. There's even in tweets. Dude, there's even tweets of them talking about that.
Yeah.
Like, how dumb are you? Yeah. Really? They didn't even delete that shit.
Nope.
You know, and I'm sorry I'm cursing you. I was just like, it's frustrating seeing this really, really much, man.
No, it is. It is, because, you know, we're obviously men. I mean, we're people of color, but, you know, we're men, and you see the harassment that happened at that studio to women. And it's frustrating because, like, I see the tweets all the day. Screw men. Men are awful and all that. I honestly, well, what am I going to say? I can't say nothing. Yeah, I guess you're right. Because
I said, you know what? I say, yep. I say, yeah, you're right.
Because what are you going to do? I can only try and, you know, be the best person that I can be. I again, hold people accountable. It's that simple, dude. I mean, hold people accountable. Like, again, people can go do their own research and read into this and see what they want. But when you see that people were reporting things and HR sweeping it under the rug, nothing's happening. There was that BlizzCon, what, from 2010, where the girl literally gets up and says something to the panel and they freaking laughed in her face.
Yep.
Yeah.
But here's that, one thing, that, Paris. Here's one thing you forgot to mention. That Bill Cosby BS that they posted, you know there was HR involved in there too in that picture.
Didn't know that. I didn't know that until you just said it. Even worse.
Yep. Even worse. Yeah. Now we know why a lot of them didn't want to do anything. Now I know why.
Of course.
Seeing that and reading that, the article online, it's in the Kotaku, and there's like a bunch of other places too. But seeing that, I'm like, wow, now it all makes sense.
Yep.
It makes sense now.
All makes sense.
Because they are also involved with that BS.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know. It's honestly embarrassing because again, I'll be full disclosure here. I was like, I'm going to talk about it real quick and we're really talking about it. But I'll say this too. Like, I've even had people come at me on Twitter and say, well, stop supporting these games then. I go, you guys are part of the problem. You support these games and all that. It's not as easy as to say that because it goes to something that you said. Like I said, I will not cover Call of Duty this year. I'm out on it. But at the same time, we know people that work at these studios and they're good people, hardworking people that do great things, even with the Ubisoft stuff. We know people at Ubisoft who are great people, hardworking. We love them to death. So it's almost like, why are we condemning the entire company for the actions of a few people? It's such a slippery slope when you have personal relationships with people there that have nothing to do with this and they just want to make great games and do their job. So you still want to support those people, but you also want to condemn the actions of all the knuckleheads at the same time. So it's a very embarrassing and frustrating thing all around, because I almost feel like we're caught in the middle, because if you stay silent, then it seems like you don't care. If you're vocal about it, well, it's like, well, you're vocal about it, but you're still reviewing their games. You're still doing all this too. It's like you're literally in a no-win situation when it comes to stuff like that. So all I can say is I try to be informed as I possibly can and just make what I think is the best decision in each scenario, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Totally agree. And my friends, I've seen them, you know, posting on Twitter, you know, being vocal about it. And there's people replying back saying, so quit.
Yeah, and that's part of my point too. It's not that simple. Why should they quit? They didn't do nothing wrong. It's leadership. This is why I keep screaming about leadership, dude. It is a failure on leadership. Stop putting the onus on the people that actually do all the work versus the leadership that should have been, when the stuff is getting reported and they're talking about it, holding people accountable and getting those people removed from the company and bringing people in that don't promote that behavior. I mean, it's that simple, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but, you know, want to give a shout out to all the Activision Blizzard employees for the walkout today. Do you know the hashtag? Oh, no, the hashtag is ActiBlizzWalkout.
Yep.
So look it up for more information. I know they also have a list of organizations for you to support also. And it's Black Girls Code, Futures Without Violence, Girls Who Code, RAIN, Women in Animation, and Women in Games International. So go out there and support. Just want to show all my love to everybody over there, man, at Activision and Blizzard. So, yeah. Anything else, Paris? Anything else? This was a great conversation overall, man, for us, right?
Yeah. No, it was good. I think that's it. I mean, to end this on a positive note, like we kind of already talked about before, there's a lot of great games that are going to be coming out the rest of this year. I'm really happy. Like I talked about Death's Door. We talked about Weird West. You know, there's obviously others like The Ascent. I'm really excited about double A in indie gaming right now, because you're seeing so many dope games come out at that level from these small studios, and they're doing these innovative and unique things that, man, I mean, it's exciting. And like Tunic is going to be another one that's going to come out. Like Kena, even though it got delayed a little bit, is another one. I freaking love these smaller games. I do. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are the people that we got to support, man, because that's where a lot of the innovation happens in this industry, is at that level.
And you know which one I'm waiting for it too? 12 minutes.
Gotta admit, that one, it's not doing it for me. I know, really? I know everyone's excited about it, but for me, I'm kind of, we'll see.
Yeah, well, wow, Paris. He's like, I'm excited for it. I just love those type of story games, so we'll see. But everyone, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Also, if you disagree with Paris about 12 minutes being eh or meh, make sure to hit us up, and here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're back here. And everyone, thank you for listening here. And by the way, I'm going to be out for 2 weeks. So this week, Paris and P are going to be recording. And most likely you guys are going to be talking about Halo Infinite, the beta, right? Impressions?
Yeah, because we would have played it by then. So yeah, we'll talk about it.
There might be other stuff too, but that's going to happen. And I'll be back. I'm probably going to be recording some stuff during the trip I'm going. So stay tuned. Everyone, stay safe. Much love to everybody. Thank you for listening to the episode of GTR. Make sure to go to Discord, discord.gg/GTR. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.